Okay, so I just want to mention something that's, I know this is really annoying to do because we're starting a new Stygia. So I just wanted to mention one Hara from the last discussion. So you guys remember that we were talking about Hischaivus and whether you can mischaive yourself to take a Shvua, is that a Kenyan Varim? So that we saw the Chumash Akri who explained the Ramaz Shita that you could be mischaive yourself to either swear or pay. Remember this? Because what you're really doing is you're mischaive yourself to pay with a ptur in the case that you take a Shavua. So it's just pure hischaivus with the option of a ptur in the event that you take a Shavua. That was the Chumash Akri's analysis. But look at this. I just wanted to draw attention to this. He actually says it depends what formulation you use. So he thought, hey guys, hey Kieran, Gabe, just making one quick R on the Chumash Akri, and then we're going to get on to the new material. So he actually thought it all depends on what formulation you use. So he thought, if you use the formulation, I'm mischayev myself to either swear or pay money, that works. Ki hamasne beferu sheyishava o yishalem le'olam chiv hatashlum en akatve ramya. So if you use the formulation of this disjunction, I will either swear or pay, that's pure hischaivus with the option of a ptur in the event you take a shuva, that's all kosher. But, and this is what's really interesting, he says, if you say, I'm mischaiv myself kedin hashomrim, you can see him, hisna she yischaiv kedin hashomrim stam nami lo mahani. That's not going to work. Why? Because in his view, din hashomrim works that you're chayiv to take a shvua. And then if you breach the duty to take a shvua, that generates a duty to pay. And that would be a kinyan dvarim when it's artificially accepted. Does everybody see that? So the Chumash Akri's move is to say, it's kosher to mischayiv yourself mamon al tnai that you're pater when you take a shvua. It's not kosher to be mischayiv yourself to take a shvua, the breach of which will trigger a new chiyuv mamon, because that would be a kinyan dvarim. So the novelty here is that he thinks the mechanism through which a shomer becomes liable to pay money is through the chiyuv shvua. If you're chayiv to take a shvua and you don't take the shvua, that generates a new chiyuv mamon. So you can see over here, he says, din hashomrim lo cheinu, that's not a hischaivus mamon, Shatora lo amra shomer shelo yishava yishalem ela kach amra shomer chinam shepasha yishalem v'zeh lo matzina b'torah shashomer shelo yirtze yishava yitzarech l'shalem ela da'anan hu da'avdinan hachi d'chein hu adin d'mishen eschayiv shvua d'oraisa v'lo ratza yishava nachtinan l'nechasav u'mikoach shvua hu da'asinan ala. So here's like the crucial phrase is that like the way the Torah sets it up in his view, a shomer chinam is chayav to take a shvua, breach of the duty to take a shvua triggers the chiyuv mamon. And that's why he thinks if you're mischayav yourself l'gilas k'shomer sachar, that's a kinyan dvarim when it comes to the shvua. If you're mischayav yourself l'shava o l'shalim, that's a legitimate hischayavus. Does everybody see that? Yeah, Evan, that sounds good to you? Yeah. Noah, sounds good to you? Just to draw out the contrast, when we saw the Ktsos said the exact opposite. The Ktsos said, if you're mischayev yourself, Leos kishomer sachar, then you're actually a shomer sachar l'chol dinav, and you're able to mischayev yourself a shvua. If you're mischayev yourself, b'gnei b'avei d'stam, that wouldn't work, because that wouldn't work to mischayev a shvua, because that's just the mischayev's mama. Okay, that's the point I wanted to make in this discussion. Just a machlokes between the Chumash Akri and the Ktsos about whether when you're mischayev yourself kedin shomer, does that work? The Ktsos says, yes, it does work because you tap into the shomerim. The Chumash Akri says it doesn't work because you're artificially trying to imitate the hilchos shomerim, and you can't artificially be mechayev yourself a shvua through the means of hilchos shomerim, because there the chi of mammon derives from the chi of shua. What you can do is to artificially specify a chiyuv mamon al tanai that you're patur when you take your shvuah. Is that clear? Gabe, you have a thought on this, or is it all good? All right, excellent. So now let's get into Baal of Ima, which is our main event for today. Okay. So the Torah in Shmos Chaf Beis, Psukim Yud Gimel through Yud Dalid, introduce the notion of Baal of Ima. It appears in the context of Shoel. There's a lengthy discussion in the Gemara whether it could be extended to other Shomrim. So what's the din of Baal of Ima, just as it appears in these two Psukim, Yud Gimel and Yud Dalid? Gabe, you want to tell us about the Psukim?
Yeah, this one I can do. That if you borrow a cow and its owners accompany them, then if the cow is damaged, you're not chayav and you're not a chray.
Yeah. So the Torah is pretty explicit. Ki yishal yishim reyim reyayu v'nish parameis. Baal of Imo yishalim yishalim. Sorry, Baal of Ein Imo shalim yishalim. If you borrow the thing without the owner, you could be liable for onsen, etc. In Baal of Imo lo yishalim. If the owner is with you, however, you, the shomer, are not liable for damages. The Torah doesn't explain why, but it sounds like there's an exemption when the owner is with you, correct? So what you want to look at is what's the nature of this exemption of Ptur Baal of Ima. Now, we'll look at the Mefarshim al Torah in a second. They all have very interesting things to say. Did everybody get a chance to look at the Mefarshim? At least the Ralbag and the Chinuch.
Always see the Ralbag.
What's that called?
Always see the Ralbag.
Yeah, isn't he great?
Bog is the man.
Yeah. So he says really good stuff here. We'll get to that in a second. First, I want to get a little more traction on just the main discussion in the Gemara. So we have the Mishnah in Sadi Dalet Amid Aleph, beginning of Parakah Shoel. What does the Mishnah say? Volunteer to read the Mishnah.
I'll take it. So the par is taken for she'ela, but the baal can either be borrowed or hired. Shal baalim oscharan ve'achar kach shal safar mesa. Patur shenamar im baalav imo lo yishalim.
Right. So basically, the Mishnah gives us two cases, right? If you're shoel the para together with the baalim, so there's simultaneity, right? Or if you're shoel habaylim, the achar achshal asapara, meaning the owner is still working for you or employed by you or doing a favor for you, and while he's still working for you, you're shoel asapara. So there's no simultaneity in the hiring, but there is simultaneity in the sense that the shela occurs while the baylim is mushel to you. Then if something happens to the item, you're potter because of Baal of Ima. Correct, Gabe?
Yeah. There's never a time where you borrowed the pyre without its own.
Correct. And what do we get from the Seifa?
Alal shalas apara v'achar kach shalas abaylim oskaran umesa chayav shnamar Baal of Ima shalim mishalim.
So what happens?
If the cow is borrowed before the owner, then there's no undoing that the creation of that achrayus relationship, even if you hire the subsequently hired by them.
Right. So if you're shoel the item, and only later were you shoel the bailim, so b'shash shela sachefetz, there was no bail of imo, then you will be chayiv in achrayus and mezika and in for shmira. Correct? Okay. Now, the Gemara here, we'll talk about this Gemara a little later on, about how exactly you get simultaneity, something I want to look into. The Gemara here first quotes Rav Hamnuna's view on Sadi Hei Amid Aleph, which is eminently sensible. You know, and if you were asking me to just interpret the Pasuk, I think I would have gone with Rav Hamnuna. Anybody get a chance to see Rav Hamnuna? Noah, do you see? I see Cole. Cole saw it. Oh, you saw Rav Hamnuna?
Sure did.
Okay, so tell us about Rav Hamnuna.
Okay, so Rav Hamnuna thinks, I'll just read it for you. Rav Hamnuna, Amar Rav Hamnuna, La'olam hu chayev, meaning the borrower is liable to compensate the owner. Actually, te par v'choresh bach, Amar v'machmer, mechamer achareha. Okay, so two jointly necessary, individually necessary, and jointly sufficient conditions for a Ptur Tashlum. And one is that the owner is maybe I didn't read the subject of that verb correctly. So I had read this as being the owner is the one using the like the animal for, you know, whatever the task is.
Exactly, like an Uber driver, right? You the car with the driver, and the driver's the one who's working, right? You don't separately borrow the car and then, you know, ask some guy to drive it for you. Like the Uber driver comes along with the car. He's mechamer achareha. He's part of a choreshba. He's like the hand who uses the item, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so according to Rav Hamnuna, there has to be a very tight connection between the chayfetz and the chayfetz's owner in order to exempt the shomer from liability. Which I think, you know, if you ask me like balabatishly, just from reading the psukim, that's eminently sensible. The ad, go on.
The ad, it's my new, yeah, okay. The ad, shiubayla mishas she'ela, ad shas shvura umeta, amakasavar balavimoa kula milsamashma. So, the bailam like has to be the owner of the cow or the donkey has to be with the cow or the donkey.
Yeah, not just b'shash she'ela, but also
yeah, right. Has to be accompanying it.
Yeah, b'shash shvura mesa. So according to Rav Hamnuna, the only time that bailam imo is applicable is when the bailam is presiding over the use of the item throughout the schiras, and the bailam was present bishash vuru mesa when the harm occurred. Okay, so and that's like so. This is a very narrow interpretation of what bailam imo means. And you should think of it as like the Uber driver. You should think of it as like when you go to Central Park and you take out a horse and buggy ride around the park, something happens to the wagon while you're in it. Of course, it's not your responsibility. It's the responsibility of the bailam who's, you know, hitting the horses and guiding them through Manhattan traffic. Correct? Does that sound sensible to everybody? Yeah. You hire a gardening crew to come and landscape your yard. They come with their lawnmowers. They use their lawnmowers, etc. Their lawnmower breaks in the course of their usage. They're responsible, not you. That's bailavimo according to Rav Hamnuna. Good? Okay. Now, the Gemara, especially the Gemara has Rava here, raising a series of objections against Rav Hamnuna. To make a long story short, there are a bunch of brisas that suggest, and this is what Rava basically argues, that all you really require is haya imo bishash she'ela, Ein sarech lios imo b'shash buru mesa. Really, the only crucial time for bailav imo is b'shash she'la. As long as the owner worked for you b'shash she'la, that's going to trigger bailav imo. Doesn't matter whether he's still working b'shas ha'ones. Haya imo b'shash buru mesa, sarech lios imo b'shash she'la. Meaning the only time that's halachically relevant is the shas ha-shela. Doesn't matter where the bailam is, b'shash v'urumesa. Okay? And the Gemara raises all these braisas, and it says, Tiyuf the Rav Hamnuna, this is a conclusive refutation of Rav Hamnuna, and Rav Hamnuna is wrong. Okay? So, one objection against Rav Huna is these brises that imply that the only crucial moment is the shas she'ela. And then there's also a bunch of brises, you can see over here, in the beginning of the Gemara on Stadi Hay, this discussion. Af al pisha bailam osen malacha b'makam acher mesa pater. Let's see. So what's going on here? Anybody know what's going on in this case. So the Gemara here suggests, based off its reading of a few brises. Noah, did you get a chance to see this? Okay, that you don't require the Bialim to be involved in the malacha that the chefet, that the pikadon is being used for. So whereas Rav Hamnuna thinks that we're dealing with like an Uber driver driving the car, Hamuskar, really to trigger Bialimimo, it's sufficient that the Bialim is osin malacha b'makom acher. So for example, I borrow Cole's car, but Cole is separately packing up boxes for me in the basement, preparing me for moving to a new house, right? Like you could trigger Bailovimo so long as Cole is employed by me. It doesn't matter that his employment has nothing to do with the chefes that I borrow from him. Okay, so which is a very broad interpretation of Bailovimo, right? And you can see the Gemara accepts this lamaskana. The Gemara says in the continuation, Reisha Rabusa Kamash Milan, the Reisha, the Brisa teaches us the Chiddush, the Af Al Gav, the Lav Al Gaba. That's not the one I want. Let me see the better formulation. Here. Sorry. Here the Gemara requires Be'osa Malacha. Yeah, I have to look at this. I thought the Brisa was more explicit here, but I'm pretty sure that Limaskana, the Brisa is pretty clear that you don't even need him to be Be'osa Malacha. Maybe it's not as clear in this discussion, but in any event, it's pretty clear from the discussion later on. So here's the better Brisa. Here. So the Gemara on Sadi Zayin Amid Aleph. Anybody get a chance to see this sugya? Or anybody familiar with it separate from... Yakir, are you familiar with the Gemara on Sadi Zayin Amid Aleph?
I don't think so.
I'll walk us through this. So the Gemara gives us the following case. Amar Rava. Hai man deboi lemishal midi mechavrei v'liftar. Here's some good legal advice. If you want to borrow something from somebody and not have any liability, in other words, through utilizing the din of Bailabimo, name ale Ashkin Maya, I say, Cole, could I borrow your computer? Okay, so Cole says, sure, right? So I say, wait, Cole, before you give me the computer, can you just pour me a cup of water? So now Cole is considered to be, you know, working for me. He's employed by me, or he's mushal to me by pouring me the cup of water. Dahava shela b'bailim. So now we've triggered shela b'bailim because Cole is employed by me, and I'm shoel chefetz from him at the same time. V'pikeachu, if Cole is shrewd and wants to make sure that I will be liable, namele shayel b'reisha v'hatar ashkech. No. Like first borrow my computer. Once the transfer of the computer has been executed, then I'll pour you water, and that's a way of avoiding the liability. That's a way of avoiding the bailabimo p'tur. Does everybody see? So the Gemara here seems to be assuming a very broad interpretation of bailabimo. So long as Kol is doing any malacha for me, b'shas hashela, that'll be sufficient to trigger bailabimo. And there's another example in the Gemara. You can see from the cases of Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph, another din that Rava quotes. Amar Rava, Mikri Dardiki. So these are, like the school teachers employed by the entire town. Shasla, the landscapers of the city who are employed by the whole city. Tavcha, the city butcher. V'umina, the city doctor, or Moel, or bloodletter. Safar Masa, you know, the city haircut, the barber, or the Rambam says, the city scribe. So these guys are considered to be employed by the entire town. Kulhu v'idan avidatayu kishela v'bailam dami. You know, these guys, when they're working for the town, if anybody borrows anything from them, we'll see there's a bit of machlokas how to make precisely what this din means. If you borrow something from them, that's considered shela v'bailam because they're employed by you as a member of the town. So if you borrow something from them, it's considered shela v'bailam. Regardless of the fact that they're not considered, they're not working with the item they lend you, and regardless of the fact that they're employed in a malacha totally distinct from the use of the item that you're taking from them. So this is a very broad interpretation of Baal Vimo. It implies that if there's any shayla or skiros between the persons, one is employed by the other, then if the employee is mashiel or maskir or chepetz to the employer, that'll be baal habima. Everybody clear with the dinim? Okay, so all this is diametrically opposed to Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna thinks you have to have this very tight connection. Rava, in his objections on Sadi Hey and then on Sadi Zayin, seems to think that you require no connection at all. It's sufficient that the bailim was mushal or muskar to the shomer b'shas chiros achepet. That's all you require. Okay. Any questions on just the background of the Gemara so far? Okay. Everyone good so far? Okay. So what's going on here? How do you make sense of this? How do you make sense of Rava loosening the requirements on Baal Avimo in a way that will preserve like what like the underlying logic for the din? Okay, so how do we make sense of the din of Baal Avimo in a way that's consistent with the loose connection defined by these mefarshim? Gabe, you have a hand on this, and then Cole has a hand on this.
Yeah, I'm new to this, like, so I haven't thought about it a lot, but I assume that the Hamnuna approach is more about. Well, I'll take the other side first. The other side is that it's about the mechanism of transfer. That when you hire the paul, the animal's not really transferring to your shos. And so the moment the kinyan is conceptually different when they're by the BMO.
I think you're right. Like descriptively, you'll say clearly what's motivating the rabba view is that there's something deficient about the initial transfer of the chefetz, the initial achrayus of shela, given the relationship between the persons, right?
Exactly. And then Rav Hamnuna would think more about sort of like who is de facto responsible for caring for this object. And so if the bailim are there, then they're going to be the primary caregiver or person responsible for caring for the object. And it's not about a legal mechanism of transfer, but more about like who is technically an achrei.
Yeah, good. Meaning according to Rav Hamnuna, it seems more of like, well, who was supposed to be, who's expected to be in charge as between the actual bailim who's present and the shomer, right? So like when the actual bailim's there, like it's back in his rishos. The shomer is only there as an agent when the bailim's in absentia, something like that. Yeah, great. So let's take a look. I think that's a really good way of laying out the possibilities. And let's see what the mefarshim say. I think Gabe's totally right in his characterization. We'd want a little bit of a better characterization of the Rava view. Like, why should there be a deficiency in the initial Shela just because there's some legal relationship between the Bailam and the Shomer, like that one's working for the other, right? Good. So let's start with the Rav Hamnuna category. The Sefer Achinuch is the best Shita for this view. Oh, Cole, you had a comment, right? Cole, you had a comment?
I like what Gabe just said, so I'm not going to add anything just now.
Nice. Great. Noah, did you get a chance to see the chinuch? Okay, so take us through the chinuch here. What's he saying? And like, take us through the important lines.
Yeah, so basically he's saying like it's on the bailim of the item to guard it, and then he has to like do a lot of like footwork to get around the case of the like of when the bailim aren't there anymore, you know, where like the relationship between the parties has like ended. So he does that. But basically his like principle is that it depends on like who's Gabe's first option, the Rav Hamnuna option, that it's like dependent on whose responsibility it is to guard the item.
Right. So he's a Rav Hamnuna guy, meaning as between the two of them, who should have kept watch over the thing. And then he has like a whole machinery of explanation to explain why details don't work out that way.
Epicycles.
Yeah, that's right. He has his Copernic. Are they Copernican epicycles? What's the? So we just take us through the Nafina table. Inyan Shela Bailam Shapater.
Yeah. So new chalvo mar lefi apshat shatora lo chiva shoel achar shabal hakli o behima imo. So we can say according to the pshat that the Torah didn't obligate the shoel, the borrower, if the Baal HaKli or the Behemah is with him. D'mikivan Shehu L'Sham, so I don't know exactly, I think I just read it as like Sham, or assume that there was a footnote. D'mikivan Shehu L'Sham, a Yishmor Hu Et Shelo, because he's there, he'll guard his own item.
As the responsibility falls on the Baalim when he's present.
Yeah.
What do you do about the Dinim?
Even though the borrower is exempt, even after the bailim like left, they're not hired anymore. Because they were there at the time of the like transfer of the object of the borrowing.
That's sufficient. The shashela is sufficient to trigger the patur. Why? After the tarets.
Yeah, after the tarets, b'zeshel raf satar latirat varn l'shiurim, to like sort of make things dependent on situation, like situational, you know, parameters, whatever. V'lomarim yishu l'sham avaylim harbe yehi pater ashtoel v'ma'ad yehi chayav, like to say it depends on the amount of time that the bailim remain there. V'tziv tator derech klal dekol sha avaylim l'sham v'shash she'ila yehi pater. So, and basically the Torah commanded just generally, if the bailim are there at the time of the she'ila, then the borrower is exempt from.
So it's like one big low plug, right? That's the way Now it's actually an interesting question, like why, like as a meta theory question, what type of argument is that? Like slow ruts out loss of veral shirim, is that a administrative cost thing? Like, oh, you don't want parties to litigate every time? Like, you know, how much did the Bailam see? How much did the Bailam not see? Or is this, you know, like what type of consideration is that?
It would have been much easier to just say if the Bailam are there, like just say Rav Hamnuna's din if this is what he cares about.
Right, right. So he has, you know, you try to say, the Torah just low plugged it and said, "B'tchilas ha'inyan, I'm thinking taloi," you know, "V'zeh tam ba'atma maspik lanu b'schiras b'aylam." Like, okay, this is enough to explain the din. Now, it's interesting. I think some mefarshim quote this. Let me see. I think, yeah. You can see that Terutz Mima quotes this, and he says, "We have a sefer Achin of Kasa, blah blah blah," and he has a great objection. Well, Einzem, do you see this, Noah? Noah, did you get a chance to see this before or no?
Yeah.
So tell us about the Terutz Mima objection here in the highlighted section.
It's just like there's like all sorts of like details of different halachot that.
Yeah, I love this.
All makes sense. Right. Based on. Right.
Hamaat pratim upirte pratim bedini shomer v'chal dine mamanis. Like the Torah is like so many like nuanced details and complex rules. Seems like a big cop out to just say that, oh, here suddenly the Torah decided to have a low plug. I think it's a pretty reasonable objection, no? Right. And then he says, "V'su l'fizah yitzarach lios dinachat shiurim b'shash shelo b'shash shvira mesa." Once, if you're low plugging, it makes more sense to make the low plug requiring the bailam's presence b'shash shelo mesa. It's b'shash shvira mesa rather than b'shash shelo, right? If it's about like overseeing the responsible item, but okay, people could quibble about that. Okay. So we'll come back to that. But either way, the Sefer Achinuch is in this category that's really about the Bailam is supposed to exercise Shmira if he's there. We explained the din in mazhab with a low plug argument. The Gra in his Perush al Torah also seems to say something like this. He says, you would think, you'd think that if I rent my car out to you and I'm present, that the Bailim doesn't have the responsibility of Shmira. You would think that it falls on the Shomer. Amar HaKasav, im socheru ba bischaro, sheshmira sabahima gamkin bischaro bahavle lishmor. So the Gemara tells you, I don't know, if the Bailim's present, the Bailim has the responsibility of Shmira. So the Gra in the Deres Elio seems to lean into this type of Shmira falls on the Bailim over the Shomer. Evan, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I would say I could be reading it wrong, but the Gra is adding like a little, like, I think the Gamkein Biskaro, the fact that like you're somehow, it's not only the fact that the Baal of the animal is just like still some loosely tied actor to the animal, but that part of your paying the guy or like renting, right? So I guess you are paying, is that he's also going to watch his stuff. Like,
yeah,
that's like a really good point. When I pay the Uber driver, I hope he's not going to like crash and destroy the car. Like,
right. It's like part of what I'm paying the Uber driver for is like to not have responsibility over his car, right? That's that he should be responsible to not crash his car.
Right.
Actually, the problem is the din seems to apply to Shayla also. Like if you ask the Uber driver to do you a favor, but you're right. In the Gruz formulation here, he says, working off the Pasuk from Sachiru Babiskaro, Amarakasa Babiskaro, Shashmir Sabema Bug Gamkin Biskaro. Like part of, as exactly as Evan said, part of what I'm Bahavle Lishmar, part of what I'm paying the Uber driver for is to exercise Shmira over his own item. Yeah. Really good point. But then again, we have to figure out what would the Gra say in the case where you're Shoel as a Bailim. I just want to also mention the Meshech Chachma, which I put in the Rav later on, in the Rav Hamnuna discussion. So the Meshech Chachma al Torah quotes this din, and he says, Rav Hamnuna, which is rejected, holds, for the time of the Rav Hamnuna Nira, Shehaya lo lahashgiach aleha. Right, like the Rav Hamnuna Shita is really just that the Bailam is supposed to exercise Shmira, like the Chinuch, and he explicitly points to this.
I have a question about Rav Hamnuna.
Yeah.
So Rav Hamnuna's view, I think, entails that, like, so I thought that the way Gabe put it earlier was very helpful, that there's a view that, you know, that liability should fall with whoever is acting as the shomer, right? But that can't really be the view, because for Rav Hamnuna anyway, because even if the Bailam is acting as shomer, there's a chiyuv tashlumin if the Bailam wasn't always acting as shomer. Why would that be?
Oh, you're saying for Rav Hamnuna?
Yeah.
Like, why does he require Bishas Shela also?
Why does he require, not just that, for the whole thing, it seems, right?
Right.
Isn't that his, why does he require constant custody of the...
Yeah. Interesting point. Evan, you have a response to Cole?
Yeah, I think that Gabe kind of said it. It's like, because as soon as the Baal leaves, the animal is now just fully under the normal borrowing / shomer rules of the shoel.
I see. So in other words, as soon as you
break that connection, it defaults.
That's interesting. So if that's true, then it's not who's acting as the shomer. There's a sense in which there's no she'ela really until the Bailim leaves the side of the animal, if he does leave the animal's side. And then as soon as he does that, then normal she'ela rules, kick in. And then why would he...
That's an interesting formulation. We should be careful. I like the suggestion. Yeah. Formulation, just you should be careful to see if that's what the Chinuch is suggesting and what the Gra is suggesting. Kivan Shehu Sham Lisham Yishmar Eshalo.
Yeah, that can't be right for anybody, I don't think, because the spending time with the animal doesn't seem to be it doesn't seem to be sufficient for a patur for Rav Hamnona, and it doesn't seem to be necessary for and I'm not even sure it has very much to do with Rav's view one way or the other.
So I think these are two different ways of formulating Rav Hamnona, kind of the gate, the Hafgas Hashmira thing versus who has the duty of Shmira. Let's just get the other views on the table quickly, because these are super lumdish views. Noah, did you get a chance to see the Ralbag?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Ralbag has two awesome suggestions. Here the Ralbag comes through hitting home runs, as he usually does. So take us through the two suggestions of the Ralbag, Noah.
Yeah, so the first suggestion is Kimipnesha Bailav Him Tachas Yado Bashashila. So because the situation is where like the person borrowing the animal actually like has some sort of like over like some sort of like rulership, or like the owner of the animal is like subjugated to the borrower.
So I hire Cole to move my books. And then while he's employed by me, I ask him to borrow his computer. But let's take a better case. Right? Like, I work for Noah. Let's say Noah employs me, you know, as his like research assistant. And then Noah asks to borrow my car for the day, right? So like he has the shibud on me as his employee. So I'm a shibud to him already. Yeah. Go ahead, Noah.
Yeah, so hine lo yitachin sheishtabi lo zeh az bishmiras habehima ki min hashcheker sheyeh adam eved v'adon yachab leish.
Yeah, it's conceptually very clean, right? It's like he's trying to get all logical on us, and it's like it's false that a person could be both master and servant in the same relationship. So like it's conceptually very clean, but then you're like, you scratch your head and you're like, well, why not? Right. Why can't legal relationships be subtle enough to allow people to be, you know, a master with respect to one dimension of the relationship, but servant relative to the other part of the relationship, right? I mean, that's just what it means to have rights and duties or rights and responsibilities under a certain relationship, right? But what do you think of this suggestion? I mean, it's a pretty cool idea.
The suggestion that you can't be master and servant?
Yeah, so the suggestion is if I am the servant of Noah,
yeah,
employed by him all year round,
yeah,
I can't now turn around and have authority over him with respect to liability of my chepetz.
That just seems facially absurd. It's not the master-servant relationships are not, I mean, like, I guess it's not absurd in that, but it's not absurd as far as it goes, but it just strikes me as entirely the wrong way to think about this particular kind of relationship. Like, why does the Ralbag need to be all, you know, feudal about it? Like,
right. Or even in a feudal world, right? Like, it's an interesting view to think that, like, the lord,
where does he never get this
have a duty to the vassal? Right.
Yeah, but that's not even true that lords didn't have duties to. I mean, even in southern slavery, it was like masters had certain legal duties to slaves. Like they were few, but they existed. It's like unless it is in Nazi concentration camps, legally speaking, there were frequently like this is just absurd. So
right, like why is this different than having any duty to like, so like even in Hilchos Avadim in the Torah are very strict about, you know, the rights that it has, right? So why, like what's unique, like the Kmina Sheker Shia Adam Eved Adon Yachad Lish, and like since when is lending somebody an item and having achrayus on it, well, since when does that make you an Eved just because you have responsibility if the thing gets destroyed? Evan, you
want to... This is like the Rivid, you know, everything's a shibud guf. It's like, calm down, man.
Right, right. All I'm doing is accepting a payment responsibility if it gets torched. Evan, you have a thought on this?
Right, that's what I was going to say. It's like we're dealing with like chiyuvei tashlumin, not like you're not like selling yourself into servitude here. Like that, like, it's just a different ballpark.
Right. Since when is a shomer right considered to be? So I guess unless he has a very strong machane Ephraim poel definition of a shomer, maybe that would help the Ralbag, right? If like exactly as you're, you know, the way you said the right would be like maybe is if you view a shomer as like meshubed and shmira, then I could either be your employer or your employee, but I can't be your employer and employee at the same time. That's the, Gabe, how does this sit with you?
I'd rather read it as about like power dynamics than technical evid adom feudal relationships. Like who holds the power in the relationship?
Why can't power with respect to one thing and not with respect to other things?
Yeah, but he's not making like a legal argument. He's saying, Mina Shekhar, like that's not how the world works. Like that's not the way in which we construct.
I thought it's a philosophical argument. It's false. It's just like it's
yeah.
You like this Ralbag or I don't know if Noah knows how to unmute.
So I kind of like was surprised at it at first. I think I read a little bit like Gabe, but then the Kimina Sheker is a little bit too strongly worded, I think, for me. Reminded me of like Socratic opposites a little bit, sort of just like believing like really strongly in like just the opposite things that can't coexist.
Yeah, I think that's how he's thinking like these Aristotelian terms, right? It's like there's an incompatibility.
Yeah,
that it's like morally deficient.
Yeah, I mean, I have to head out, I think, for the event. But
okay, we'll see you later, Noah. Yeah. But so Mela the Ralbag says this, right? But the Torah Tmima picks it up on his own. Did anybody notice that? So the Torah Tmima in this long Ha'ara here quotes the Chinuch, which you mentioned before. Blah, blah, blah. And he says, what's the deep? So he said, let's start from the A. So Kufnun Gimel. So Simon, note Kufnun Gimel. I think the Torah Tmima is entertaining two dinim. He says, when the Bailim is present, Bishas HaMalacha, then Tam Pashat Tepatur, the Kivan Digama Bailim also Malacha Bapara Havaluli Zar Shlo Yarala One Shvira Mesa. If the Bailim is present, Bishas HaOnas, so we could appeal to the Chinuch. But why should he be Patur when the Bailim is employed Bishas Sheila LeMalacha Acheres, like in the Rava cases, right? You're employed as the barber or as the shochet of the town, and then he borrows something from you. Why should that trigger a p'tur b'ayla b'imo? Kima shaychis ha'inyonim zela zeh, right? Why should everything talui b'shas ha'sheila? So look what he says. Okay, so Evan's going to have to leave at 12 also. So look what he says. He says, Evan, why don't you take us through this before you head out? The Efshar Lomar, so he's machaving to the Ralbag, which is great.
So the Efshar Lomar Asara Bezeh Mishum to the Klal, E Efshar Adam Echad She Ba'as Be'es Uba'ona Achas She'aved U'misha'aved Be'ish Echad.
Yeah.
It's a similar language.
Yeah, right. Like, good, right? Efshar, and again, it sounds like a logical possibility or like a legal impossibility for one person to be at the exact same moment mishubad umishabed li shachar.
Right.
And you know, I don't know, like why not? Like why? I don't know. Why can't you owe somebody, be a creditor and a lender to somebody at the same? Why can't you be a borrower and a lender to the same person?
Polonius.
What do you say, Cole?
Polonius.
Why is it Polonius?
Neither a borrower nor a lender B. It's when I think of the Polonius. Right.
Right.
Hamlet.
He says, "Uba ofen kaze, Ein hashibud shelo lezulaso shibud gamor. And like, it's like you're almost like blocked from having a real shibud in this case. And so, Evan, take us to the lachain.
Lachain imay balim sholim li shol shuv yevshar sheish David lo ashol az.
Right. So if the bailim is considered mushal, employed or meshubad to the shomer, it's now impossible for him
to go back.
For the shomer to meshubad back to the bailim. Right. It's like, there's something about shibudim that you can't be mishabed u'mishubad to nishachad be'esav ona achas. And then he says over here, you're like, okay, so give us a proof, right? So look at this line. Take us through this, Evan.
U'chdom eli shenimtza dimyon l'svara zu be'ezav makom b'gemara.
U'chdom eli shenimtza dimyon l'svara zu be'ezav makom b'gemara. Like, oh, you know, I think there's some like good halachic analogy to this type of reasoning somewhere out there in the Gemara.
Sure. I'll trust your word on that.
Right. It reminds me of the tshuva of the Ri about Mesira. Someone says, is it really true you could kill a Moser? So the Ri says, the Ri Hazaken says, Efshar sheyesh shum pasuk bazeh beza shum makom. Maybe there's a pasuk somewhere about this, saying that it's mutter. But the Torah Tmima here is making a similar move. I think it is pretty interesting. He's machaving to this argument of the Rabbah. Okay, so that's the second theory. Now, the third theory to explain Baal Bima, I think, is also really interesting. Cole, you got a chance to see this, the Vod?
The Vod. Did I see it? Okay, I saw it now. Vod ki Adam.
I think this is actually very plausible. So take us through this argument.
Oh, should I read? Okay. Va'ed ki adam shahaya oisa malacha acher yita ve'enav lahanos bal hamalacha kedei sheyetzen l'schar mahamalachos asher lo zeich sha'az im yikach bemto kelav aval pishalei kabel alav shmiraso. What does that mean? That's why I didn't realize that.
Take a minute to digest it.
Yeah, hold on. Let me.
Ya Adam kishehaya osa malachas acher. So when I'm employed by you, yita be'inav lahanos balam.
Wait. Ya Adam shehaya osa malachas acher, meaning you're working for me. Yeah.
Yita be'inav lahanos balam malacha.
Who's right? The balam? What is a balam?
The employer.
The worker.
The employer. The employer. Right. It's good for me to wanna, you know, grease your hand or find favor in your eyes. Why? Kidesha yitain lo schar me amalachos asher lo. You know, I wanna. Everyone wants to be in the good graces of their employer.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know, everyone wants to find favor with their employer because that's how they secure future employment or continued employment. V'lazeh lo yachush azem yikach behem to kelav apishli kapal shmiraso. So it's almost like you waive the liability in order to reap the benefits of your employer liking you.
You, the worker, waive the employer.
Evan, you want to take a stab at explaining it to Cole?
Yeah. I'm lost.
Okay, so
you can tell Cole's never worked a day in his life. That's why he's having trouble with
it. I was going to say, first of all, I don't want to please my employers. I want my employers to do what I want. Yeah, maybe that's where I'm lost. You know, my all summer right. At First Things, where Rusty Rito left the office for a week and I just sat in his office right. And smoked cigarettes and read Aristotle.
As one of the Baal Batim in Englewood said when we saw Gretzer Abag, he's like, oh, finally a pro-employer Rishon. You know? So, Evan, you want to explain what's going on here?
Right. So the Baal, the original owner of the animal, wants to please the guy he's renting and or lending out himself and the animal to, the shoel. And for that reason, he's going to waive any of the payments that he would have that his animal causes to the shoel.
Yeah. It's very simple, right? So it's like, let's say I have an employer which my job depends on, right? So let's say, let's take YU as an example. Let's say President Ari Berman employs me, And he says, I just got to make a quick phone call. Can I borrow your phone? So I say, sure. But I give him the phone, and then lightning strikes and destroys it while it's in his hand. So the idea is that, like, look, let's say I need to be employed by YU, and I'm just so happy for YU to continue my employment that I'm eager to, like, do this service for my employer upon whom my livelihood depends, right? Yitav be'enav lahanos bal hamalacha, kideisha yitin lo schar me'amalachos asher los, that I'll continue to get, like, a little extra teaching gig, a little extra bonus, right? Or a little extra retirement funds matching. I don't know. Whatever, like, the perks are supposed to be. And that's why I'm really not makbid when he borrows my thing. Even without him accepting achrayas, I'm totally happy to do the favor for him without getting any liability, responsibility in exchange. That's the argument of the Ralbach. So you don't need Rav Hamnuna. You don't need a tight relationship between, it's not like you don't need an Uber driver case in order to explain why Baila Bimo applies. Even if there's no connection whatsoever, it's the mere fact that you're employed or you're in the service of so-and-so that explains why you're willing to lend him the item without getting any liability rights in exchange. You see that, Cole? Right. You might disagree, but you hear the argument at least, right? It may not be like you see what he's trying to motivate.
Give it to me one more time.
Gabe's gonna convince you.
Gabe.
No, I'm not. I'm just gonna ask a broader question about the Rabag. Isn't the paradigmatic Baila Bimo case a case of Shoel, not a case of Sokar? Why is he thinking so much about employment relationships?
Yeah, really good point. This gets back to Evan's diak also in the Mschiru Babiskaro, right? This argument really only makes sense if it's like Kadesha Itin Lo Schar Me Amalachos, right? Now, maybe you could finesse this, Gabe, by saying that I'm willing to be mashil myself to you, almost as like a trial run, so that you'll be willing to hire me. But there's something inelegant about that.
Yeah, that's like the college age intern who's like selling their soul to get the investment banking job.
That's right. Work for us for free. It's like Evan. I don't know. I hope Evan's getting paid next year. But you know, no. There you go. So it's like Evan. Evan's lab director says, "Hey, Evan, can I borrow your phone? You know, by the way, like whether you get into med school depends on whether you let me make this phone call. You know." So Evan says, "Sure, take it." You know. All right, Evan. Yeah. Sorry, you're gonna say something, Evan.
So within the two views in the Gemara, both Rava and Rav Hamnuna, I don't really see how this like fits, because presumably the Rabag's idea here wouldn't even require like the simultaneity of the actual like Shayla in the first place. But if the whole idea is that the Baal Behema is just gonna kind of let anything fly, then why would it matter how that, like, sort of relationship or kinyan, like, gets off the ground?
Okay, does anybody want to respond to Evan before he has to run? I think there's an easy answer here. Gabe wants to respond, it looks like, or Cole wants to respond. Because I think the answer is, Cole, did you want to respond? Or I think the simple answer is that the shibud for the dine shayla go into effect the shah shayla, right? So whether or not you're willing to make him a shomer while waiving all the liabilities will depend on what your relationship with him is bishas ha-shela, right? So it's like, okay, when you lent him your phone, were you employed by him?
Right, so you're not waiving these things later, like down the line, you're waiving them up front.
Exactly, they'd all have to be waived at the initial contract. I think that's the right, it's not like, oh, once you work for him, then you waive it. No, it's like when the Shayla occurs, what was the Das then? And we'll only impute to you the Das waiving Achrayus if you had this like your employment relationship with him at the time. Right. So I just want to say that the Rabag's theory works nicely for like the Shas, the town scribe and the town barber, right? It's like the barber is always trying to get everyone's business, arguably. So we could say, oh, there's like some sort of room to know that he's willing to wait. Like he'd be willing to waive achrayus when he lends you something, you know, to continue to get employment type thing. It's an interesting argument for sure, no? Gabe, Yakir, you have Cole, you have thoughts on this?
I don't know. I'm still struggling with like the logic here.
Because you're too much on the capitalist side, not the worker side, to understand what the worker is willing to go through.
What do you think of this formulation? That it's a question of like what is primary source of is primary contribution to labor, primary source of income is like what is the poet making his money on? Is he making the money off of hiring out his cow, or is he making money off of hiring himself out? And if like his primary income is coming from his own labor, like that's what he's going to focus the relationship on.
Yeah. It's like this is just like a perk or like a little inducement to get more labor or something. Is that what you're saying, Gabe, or you're just saying that it's bought out?
Yeah, that in his mind, like that's not going to be like where he's going to sort of negotiate on terms. It's like that's not like, where he's making his money.
Right. So look here at the Sparno. The Sparno, I think, if I'm reading this correctly, has a variation on that second Ralbag idea. So this is, again, like trying to peer into the mind of the Shomer, peering into the mind of the Bailam, to see like what type of relationship did he intend to generate? So who had a chance, any of you have a chance to see the Svarno? Yeah. Gabe, did you get a chance to see this yet? Cole, did you get a chance to see this far now?
I did not see the... Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did not.
Okay, so let's see. So, in Bailazimo, in Malachta Bishasheela, there's like some sort of relationship between the Bailam and the Shomer, right? So the Bailam is working for the Shomer. Bishasheela. Lo Yishalim. Why? So, Gabe, what does he say? You can read this for us. Shastam.
Is it Shastam Ashel Bikaro of Das Kazer, Hunote Matana of Das Sheyas?
Yeah. Bikivan Shalohit.
Bikivan Shalohit. In the Chayav Lachzir, Elakish, who Nimses Be'er.
Yeah. So, what do you think this is? Shastam Ashel Bikiro of Das Kazer. Who knows a matana adasha yachzir? Kimon shalhisin that ino chayav lahachzir. Don't she nimtzei spehen? You have a sense of what's going on here? I think the main move is the bikur of das kazeh. Cole, do you have a sense?
Yeah, fun of friend.
Yeah, I think that is the main move. I just don't know if I'm sympathetic to it.
Right. I think he's just trying to say it's like when you have already a close relationship. You know, so like there's like an ongoing employment relationship or something. So it's not like an arm's length business transaction. So it's like there's already an antecedent relationship between these parties and they're close, right? They have a working relationship already. When they're in that type of relationship, we assume that they're not looking to saddle the other with liabilities. Or really just the Shela was intended as a matana of an Asha Yachzir. I give it to you and you give it back to me when you're done with it. Like it's, you know, we're not looking to impute liability to the other person, you know, blah, blah, blah. That makes sense. So almost the way I understand this is that it's about Kirov Das relationships versus arm's length market transactions. So somebody who you're close, somebody, Cole, you ever...
What is Kiruv Das? What is Kiruv... What's the difference between Kiruv Das and just an...
Kiruv Das, I think, connotes like special relationships, like a...
Like Kiddushin, sometimes people say, is like created by a Kiruv Das.
I don't think anybody would say that. I think Kiruv Das is more like we're chummy, right? There's like a certain sense of fraternity between us already. There's affection. And so when there's that type of thing, then we assume that this is given as a matana rather than you know, with strict legal liabilities accompanying it. Now, I think what's implausible about the theory is that, well, who says that just because somebody's employed by you, like, generates kiruv das, like, you could have a cold relationship with your employer. But the Svarno is, so I think the Svarno is offering a variation off of the second view in the Ralbag, where the second view in the Ralbag, it's like, oh, you'll give it to your employer without liability in order to induce him to give you more malacha. The Svarno is just saying, oh, Stam, when you're mashiel to somebody who you have a relationship, you know, in this kiruv das way where you have a close relationship already, there's affection, blah, blah, blah. We assume this is meant as a matana without liability rather than as like strict shmira with liability. Gabe, does that make sense to you? Or?
Yeah, it makes sense. I'm still evaluating it. I hear the argument.
Okay. So far we've surveyed three theories very quickly. We've surveyed the chinuch, gra, mesha chachma, bidas, or pamnuna. This is all just about as between the Shomer and the Bailam. If the Shomer is there, the Bailam should exercise Shemira. Obviously, that works a lot better with the Ramnuna's view itself. The second theory is the Torah Tmima / Ralbag view that you can't be an Eved and Adon Bivas Achas. The third view is that when you're in this type of relationship, there's some Umdina to assume that you want to be Mashil for free, free of liability. In the Ralbag's variation is to induce the employer to give you more work. In the Svarno's relationship, it's just like, oh, whenever you have a tight relationship with somebody, you have kiruv das, there's affection, we assume you're willing to waive liability and structure it as a matana rather than a shmira. There's one other view that we should just mention quickly. The Torah Tmima throws it out, and he says this. The Gam Yesh Lahazbir. Yakir, do you want to take a stab at this for us? The Gam Yesh Lahazbir view?
Yeah. So he says, the Gam Yesh Lahazbir time of Shaldavar, the Chivan, the Chalatma Shalchiv Shalva Unsein, who Mishum Shakalana Shalav, who will be introducing Badadavar Shalpul Mavailov, Lachin and Bailovimo, Bad Kasaf Utovasana, Alanashav Ud Aladavar Kishal El Kim Kisocher. He's Kari who is Shimakabo Bad Asma Yahashiv Gam Al Hapara.
Did you have a sense?
He's saying, I'm not sure which of two maybe slightly different things he's saying, but he's saying that it is no longer true that Kolhana Ashalo, because the shul is now paying for, he's now paying for the services of the bailim in addition, and therefore he becomes a socher, or he becomes like a socher. I'm not sure how strong the kafadimium is there. And the para becomes subsumed under the employment relationship.
Right. Meaning he wants to, seems to be saying a shoel is defined by kol ana shelo, that the shoel reaps all the benefits. And when there's bail of emo, even if it's m'lacha acheres, he thinks that, especially in the normal case where the bailam is employed, it's no longer a pure she'ela because the mash'il is really getting something in return, right? Either the kesef of the employment, or I don't know why exactly there's tubasana. And you think somehow that vitiates the shame shoel. It's not clear to me though, because the problem here is that Baal Abimo vitiates more than the shame shoel. It also paters socher, which we'll see explicitly in the Gemara. So Yakir, right, it's strange that he thinks, okay, it knocks you down to a socher, but then why is there a din of Baal Abimo to pater a socher from Neva Veda? Right, Yakir, you kind of get into the same issue.
Which is why maybe it's better to think of this as he's trying to say that it becomes part of the employment agreement, and so it leaves the world of Shmira altogether.
Interesting. Meaning, like, we subsume this is kind of similar to what Gabe was saying. We subsume the hafets into the relationship between the persons. It's not like a separate Shmira contract, right?
It kind
of gets rolled into the whatever relationship previously existed between the two people.
Yeah, I mean, it only sort of sounds like he's saying that. It doesn't really sound like he's saying that, so.
Yeah, we should think more to see if this last argument really, this Gamish Lahazmer Taimo thing really stands on its own two legs. Okay, but that's really what I wanted to cover today. So just really to survey the Rav Hamnuna versus Rava definitions of the scope of Bailo Imo, you know, how emo it has to be. And then these three major approaches in the Mefarshim about why Bailo, like what's the underlying rationale for Bailo Imo. What we'll do in the next Chabura is I want to look at this Gemara in Sadi Dalet Amud Aleph. It's a bit of a side discussion, but it's very important for Sfiras Poalim in general. About the Gemara, the Mishnah talks about simultaneously hiring the Bailim along with the thing, like in an Uber driver type scenario. And the Gemara wants to know, how could it be simultaneous? How could it be simultaneous? And it says that you hire the Bailim by Mira, and the Mefarshim have a lot of interesting things to say about whether Schiras Poalim could be affected by Mira alone without a Maisa Kinyan. So there's a lot of interesting stuff there. We'll spend some time discussing this. And then I want us to discuss mostly to go down to the discussion of Mikri Dardiki Shasle Ha'ir and Rava's discussion about, you know, this trick to get out of Shmira responsibility. You know, you ask the guy to pour you a cup of water. So like these applications of Shmira Revilah. So we'll look at the sugya at Sadi Zayin and the sugya on Sadi Hey about Schiras Pol and Bamira. Sorry, Sadi Dalet. Does that sound like a good plan for the next Kabura? Great. Shkoyach, guys. Great discussion.
Hey, tomorrow, stay on for a minute. I need to ask you something.
Okay. Great. I'm being summoned by Cole to stay on. Shkoyach, Gabe, and Yakir.
Yakir, I think that's our cue to leave.
So we're back, we're on for Thursday, right? Thursday at 11 works? Excellent. Great. Shkoyach, guys. See, by the way, we're covering so much more ground now. We're going to get to, like, you know, already Sadi Zayin.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Added in, like, 3 blocks. So very excited about that. All right, Shkoyach, Gabe. I'm going to stop the recording for a moment.